normally, you know, you have to really put your mind and your heart and your soul into getting into the mood of Tisha B'Av. But in many ways, it's been Tisha B'Av for months already. Of course, we're in camp, and we do a very good job camouflaging it. But it's been Tisha B'Av. Never in my lifetime, and even those older than me, never have we experienced what it means to be bodad, what it means to be alone, quarantined, locked up. I have a chaver, Choshev Yid, his name's Reb Naftali Weiss. He's speaking in Satmar tonight. He sent me a list of kimat 1,000 names he wanted to print it up because so many karbonis during corona had no levaya, they had no hespedim. So when then to be maspid? Not tonight. I think, speaking for myself, the moment perhaps that it hit home for me most was when I had a phone call from Rav Moshe Rotberg, who's a Rav in Tom's River. He called me up and he said, "We got a call from the hospital. And the nurse said, Rabbi, there's people that are dying alone. They have nobody with them. They have no family. There's no rabbi. If you want, you can make a recording and we'll put it by their ears. So before they die, they can have that last prayer." So Rav Moshe Rotberg asked, "Could you make a recording?" And I did. Ashamnu, Bagadnu. I said the words slowly and clearly. And then I pressed N. And I sent him the recording. And then I said to him, "They're going to the Olam HaEmes. No words of Chizuk. That's it." And so he told me, 30 seconds. "You want to send the recording? 30 seconds. Because the nurse isn't going to stay there for long." So I had 30 seconds to speak to people that were literally on their last breaths. Affiliated Jews, unaffiliated Jews, Haimish Yidin. It had to be one nusach. And this is what I told them. I said, "Dear fellow Jew, understand that you are never alone. I'm sorry if you feel alone, but a Jew is never alone." I told them, "Hashem is with you, your family is with you, and fellow Yidden, fellow Jews are with you. Shluf gesint. Sleep well. And Yitzhak Shem will see you by Tchias HaMeisim. So tonight, if we stop for a moment and we try to contemplate the fear, the sorrow of people who Nebuch were totally alone, literally 1,000 of them, and their families that were helpless at home, trying to do anything they could just to get an update. How helpless and alone did they feel? I was listening earlier today to a famous audio from Rav Gifter that he said in 1975 at the Siyum HaShas. He said, "Gebakrechts, give a cry. Nor fatelsh, not only for tells, for Pressburg, for Warsaw, for Lemberg, for Krakow, for Frankfurt. Wherever there are Jews, give a krechts." He was talking about remembering the Kedoshim. So tonight on Leil Tisha B'Av, one of the saddest Tisha B'Avs in recent memory, we say, give a krechts, for Muncie, for Williamsburg, for Borough Park, for Flatbush, for Crown Heights, for Lakewood and London and Eretz Yisrael and Detroit and Chicago and Cleveland. Wherever Jews live, tonight we give a krechts, but even more, give a krechts for the loneliness. For the loneliness of almanis, fresh almanis. Some of you had Reb Shmuel Berkowitz as a manal, a close friend. Give a krechts for the yisoyimim, hundreds and hundreds of yisoyimim, fresh yisoyimim. For parents that don't sleep at night because they don't know where their children are. For the children who are off the derech and feel so lost and alone. For the singles looking for shidduchim, for people that can't have children, there's so many tzores. Give a krechts. But in truth, before we give a krechts, we have to be silent. Shtika. Rabbi Aaron Brustowski, Rebbe in Lakewood, a few years ago, lost his son. 2 days ago, he called me. He says, maybe you'd want to share this on Tisha B'Av. He said, I was driving my son to an appointment. 2 hours there, 2 hours back. We sat there. I don't know if it was a treatment or something else. Not a word was said between the two of us. I wondered, what did I accomplish by taking him? What did I accomplish? Not a child. He's 28 already. And as he's getting out of the car, his son said to him, "Ta, thank you for sitting with me. Thank you." So tonight, we sit literally as Avelim. Chazal tell us it's Kimi Shemesoy Muta Lefonov. It's as if the dead body is lying right here. Imagine you're by a Levaya. And in Ovel, the din is you walk into a base Ovel and you are quiet. You don't say anything. Rabbi Yonason David writes in a Sefer, Tisha B'Av is not a yontif of Avinu Malkeinu. It's not a yontif of Slichis. It's a yontif of silence. And when you sit silently, you take comfort in knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits next to us. How painful is it for a father to take his child to treatments? how difficult was this year for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to watch us in such pain. But he sat with us every moment. And knowing that he's sitting there is so comforting. The concept of shtika is not just not talking. We ask the Rabbeinu Shem, Elokim al domi lach, al techerash v'al tishkoit keel. Do not be silent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the meaning is, Rabbeinu Shalom, don't be bimnucha, knowing the tzar. Silence is a state of menucha. It's a state of just a peaceful silence. There's something comforting about it. V'yishtoik hayom me'aleinu, the pasuk in Yonah says, that the stormy sea will grow silent. And the Radak says it's a lashon of menucha, a menuchas hanefesh. Imagine the storms and the waves and the crashing against the boat. And you just want the silence. The sea should go silent. But it's more than just a menucha. It's a contemplative menucha. When we sit there comforted by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting next to us. The Mishnah says, Siyog l'chachma shtika. If you want to lock up the chachma, then it needs to be followed by shtika, by a silence. Think about it. Think about what's happened. Grow from it. Be comforted by it. And then after we're silent, and after we gain a measure of menucha, of vayidim aron, to contemplate what happened, to understand it, to think about it, to think about what we're doing here. We're not just crying about tzaris. We're crying to become closer to Hashem who's sitting right next to us. Then give a krecht. Then cry out. But remember that the first sign of life in this world is a cry. How do you know the baby's alive? Because the baby cried. My father called me today and he said, it's been such a hard year. Maybe this year the shmooze should be a little more uplifting, a little more comforting. And so even though it's hard, this year maybe more than any other, we need to feel the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to know that after it's all over, we're alive. If we're here, we're alive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a purpose. The Lepnach. It was a story that happened in the news this year. It happened on January 2nd. At 6.02 p.m. in Magnitogorsk, Russia. There was a tremendous apartment building that completely collapsed. Hundreds of people killed. And what they do when they clear away the rubble, they clear the rubble away and then they stop for a moment of silence. Quiet, everyone. Quiet. And they're listening for survivors. What are the chances of a survivor? But somebody heard the faintest cry. Not the cry of an adult, but the cry of a little baby. And they traced it and they found it and they removed the rubble. And miraculously, even though the temperature was negative 17 degrees Celsius and she was severely frostbitten, a pink-skinned child was found wrapped warmly in a cozy blanket. Underneath it all, wrapped warmly. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Nisyonis, then He also wrapped us warmly in His embrace to tell us that He will be there for us. And so, here we are on Leil Tisha B'Av. I read an unbelievable memoir. It was written by a survivor of Buchenwald. The soldiers were walking through the camps. If I'm not mistaken, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, shut the water. And therefore, thousands died of thirst after the Nazis left the camp until the liberators came. And as the soldiers are walking through the horrifying corpses piled on top of each other, rows and rows of them, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. Until finally, someone heard moaning. They looked around and they saw that it was coming from one pile, a pile of dead bodies. There's moaning coming. And as they moved the corpses away gently, they found a Yid who was barely alive and he was moaning, and the soldiers bent down. One of them bends down and he listens. And he turns to his friend and he says, "He's speaking Yiddish." And his friend listened closely. He said, "It's not Yiddish. It's Aramaic. He's saying Kaddish. On the bottom of the pile, covered in death, this one Yid clinging on to life to say Kaddish. Yizgadal v'yizgadash shemei rabo. Rabbeinu Shalom, I want to be marbe kvayit shemayim with my last breath. Ribui kvayit shemayim." I was sitting in a room in the corner a few moments ago, and my cousin texts me. He lost his sister 2 days ago, my first cousin. He says that her husband, Reb Daniel Eli, just got up in front of the mishpacha. 8 yesoimen. And he said, "We have to be makir that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's tzar is so much greater than our tzar." Rabbeinu Shel Olam, look at your children. It's unfathomable. After a year like this, after tzaris like this, for Klal Yisrael from underneath the rubble to say, "Ribbono Shalom, we're here for you. We appreciate that you're here for us. We couldn't do it without you. We're sitting next to you, but we are here for you." And so tonight, we are shoysik, we're quiet. And we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting next to us. And we think about the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the tzaris that result from it. And we think about the current tzaris, and we're noisa ba'olim chaveire, and we think of the tzar and the pain of the people that we know. Who doesn't know someone that left this world this year? But at the same time, we are so proud. You yeshiva bachrim, the diamonds of the world, doing what no one else can possibly do. encountering difficulties and yeshivas closing and trying to listen to shir on a cell phone without your friends around, lonely, trying to pitch in at home and do your utmost. The Rabbeinu Shalom says tonight, sit next to me. I'm proud to be next to you. We'll cry together. He was a simple person. A Baba Ver Chosid. A friend sent this to me, a friend from L.A. Today he called me, sent me. And he said, I want to buy a present for the Baba Ver Rebbe. So he thought, what could I buy? A Becher, a Havdalah candle, a Challah Dekel. What can I buy? Rebbe has all that. A Shtender came up with a unique present. And he was very, very proud of his creativity. He was so proud. He walked over to the Rebbe and he handed him the gift. And the Hasidim are around, and the Rebbe unwraps it, and he sees that it's a kinnis, a silver-plated kinnis. And the Hasidim chuckled, and the Chassid who gave the gift was terribly embarrassed. And the Rebbe said, "Don't laugh. He's the one that knows." He knows that one day soon Bekariv, kinnis are going to be zmiris. Kinnis are going to be beautiful. Now it hurts. Now we're in pain. Now we have to feel the pain of others. But if we do that enough, that Emet Hashem will bring them nechama, menucha, the menucha of the shtika, menucha is oisiyos nechama, will bring them the nechama they need, will be comforted, and nachamu nachamu ami will be a celebration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, come with me to Eretz Yisrael, come with me for Tchiyas HaMeisim, come with me my children, I'm never ever leaving you.